number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
On the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
So, do you think that the Oklahoma City Thunder are now in trouble in a series where they did get a split in Oakland after a dominating performance by Golden State tonight? I wonder if now the tide is really starting to turn. Because it's one game. We don't want to overanalyze one game. We didn't want to do it when the Thunder won Game 1. Do we do it when the Warriors win Game 2? But I think there is something about the way Steph Curry and the Warriors played tonight and the way they responded tonight, I think needs to be really analyzed. Because the key to this series was late in the second quarter and all of the third quarter, how quickly that game got away from Oklahoma City. Now, you can do that against some of the bad teams, but Golden State's been doing that to everybody all year. The way they can quick strike, the way they can turn a one-point deficit or a one-point lead into an eight-point lead or a 10-point lead, and they do it quickly. And when they do that, they control. And when they control, they win. And they did control, and they did win. But if you're Billy Donovan, do you walk away going, hey, listen, you know, we still have what we came for? Look, these guys are realistic. They may tell you to the media, well, we expect to win every single game. No, they don't expect to win every single game. They know that there's going to be nights where they're not going to have it. There's going to be nights where things aren't going to work. So you have to have the right strategy. What's the right strategy? Well, for them, it was go to Oakland and get a game. Then if you get a game, maybe you can get two. If you lose game one, try to get game two and go back with momentum. So that's what they were hoping for. Realistically, beating Golden State twice during the regular season hadn't happened all year, but beating them twice in the playoffs at home, you're not going to do that. And Oklahoma City apparently knew that by the third quarter. They did have that we're getting out of here mode. You see teams do that a lot. So Steph Curry, again, poured it on, again, showed why he's the MVP and all of that stuff. But we go to Oklahoma City 1-1, and if you aren't paying attention to the series, you would say, hey, that means a lot for Oklahoma City. If you watch tonight's game, you would say that really means a lot for Golden State. Because Golden State needed this game. Yes, they could have won 4 out of 5, but it would have been very, very difficult. And to be honest with you, I doubt they would have. I think if the Oklahoma City Thunder won this game tonight, they would have won the series quickly. That's a lot of momentum to take back home. You hand the Warriors back-to-back losses, and you take both games in Golden State at Oracle? Come on. 800-777-2907. Steven on Twitter at Tony D Radio sent me the meme of Steph Curry diving into the stands. It's such a great picture, too, because it's people kind of diving out of the way. Curry goes into the stands. It's exactly what I would have done, by the way. I mean, I criticize these people for not saving Steph Curry, but if Steph Curry dove at me, I'd probably hide like a child. I probably wouldn't want you, you know, I weigh a lot more than Steph Curry, and I probably would have dove out of his way. But he landed and he got hurt and he had a big swollen bulge on his elbow. But the meme says, move, I'm helping Durant find his game. Nope, not here either, as he dives into the stands. It was a pretty cool moment, though. NBA players who dive into the crowd, it's always so frightening to me. These are big guys. Now, Curry's not a big guy, but most, you know, you take your average NBA guy and have him dive in, it's not going to be pleasant. You know, my brother sat courtside at a Pacers game. He lives in Indianapolis. And that was one thing he kept saying. He goes, all right, I'm sitting courtside. My corporation got me these tickets. I'm totally out of place. They're the coolest seats I've ever sat in. I felt like Jay-Z. I loved it. It was great. But man, when those guys are coming, when the play is coming to your side of the court, he says it's unreal. And I said, yeah, I know. I've sat, in college games, I've sat courtside and whatnot. But he goes, in an NBA game, there's nothing to protect you. I've had that scorer's table. I've never sat courtside where it was just me, space, player. I've always sat courtside where I'm at the scorer's table And that's at least protecting you. He said it was really scary because the guys are gigantic. He's like, they're gigantic and they're coming at you. But he said it's the best seat in the house. It's the best. Curry diving in. You'd want to be the guy that saves Curry. You have to be. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. We're also talking about LeBron tonight because the Cavaliers are going to eliminate Toronto. I don't know how many games I'm thinking for. I'm sure many of you are like that too. But LeBron is in a really cool position. The Cavaliers are in a really cool position. The NBA playoffs started in mid-April. They are going to play 12 games in the playoffs. At least that's my prediction. They're going to eliminate Detroit, Atlanta, and Toronto in four straight. I think they're going to sweep the Raptors. And if they do that, the amount of wear and tear and rest this team is going to have, those two things, the wear and tear and rest, are going to be significantly in their favor. Minimum wear and tear, maximum rest. When you go into the playoffs, it is a grind because you're playing the same team. And if you get caught up in a series, it's a mental grind. You don't get a break. You're always thinking about the opponent, the same opponent. It's not like when you're on a road trip. You know, this is one of the things that made the Warriors season so impressive, that even on road trips, they kept the intensity up. They were still winning a ton of games on the road. But you hear guys talk about this all the time. When they're on the road for like a 7-game West Coast trip or a 6-game West Coast trip or an East Coast trip, whatnot, you get lost in the shuffle of it all. It's hard to get a rhythm. You're playing one night, then you're on the road, then you stay in a city a little bit, then you play again, and then you go on the road again, and you might hang out, or you might play that night. It's hard to get a rhythm of anything, but one of the things you have is you have different opponents, things get mixed up, all of that stuff is in play. When you play a series, a 7-game series, especially if that series is tight, it's the same opponent, and it's every night, and you're breaking down the same film, and you're tracking down the same tendencies. So if your assignment in this series is guarding Durant, let's say, you're watching film all the time, and coach is making a minor adjustment here, minor adjustment there, but you're going through the same thing all the time. LeBron and the Cavaliers have made quick work of these series to a point where they're not bogged down, and they are refreshed in a huge way. This makes them a very formidable opponent to whoever's coming out of the West. All of the drama for the Cavaliers, I think, is pushed aside because they have gotten everything the way they want it, exactly the way they want it. I've been pulling for LeBron to win a title for Cleveland. I kind of hope it's this year. I'm actually torn because there's two storylines that I actually like. If Golden State wins 73 games, I'd want them to win the title. But I do want LeBron to give that city a championship. I've been fascinated with the LeBron story for a long time. There are two athletes right now that I'm very fascinated with. One is LeBron James because I think his story of his NBA career is really unlike anybody else's. It is a story of unbelievable rejection, if you will, of a city. When he went to Miami, he became a villain. He was the best player in the league, and he became a villain. Then he became a character, a noble character in a play where he was trying to redeem his city and redeem himself. He's got like this Shakespearean arc to his NBA career. He's not just going out and playing games. He's creating this gigantic story. And there is going to be a 30 for 30 on LeBron James coming up because it is fascinating. The other guy I'm fascinated with is Tiger Woods because he's the 534th golfer in the world right now. He's 40 years old. His body is destroyed. He needed three shots that all went in the water from 100 yards out. You don't even have to be a good golfer to be able to hit a golf ball 100 yards. He is probably closer to retirement than he ever is about being competitive again. And when he does, if he retires soon, if he makes the announcement that he's done and he's chilling out and he might come back for the championships tour, think about what we have seen, what we thought, what we projected, and what we ended up getting. A broken down Tiger Woods. A golfer that has a body of a football player. Meanwhile, Phil Mickelson, who hasn't been the most healthiest guy in his career, still chugging along at 46 years old and is a favorite when he does tee it up. But Tiger can't hit a ball 100 yards over water. And not that long ago, we projected that his career would be unlike anything we've ever seen in the sport. Two guys I'm pretty fascinated with. Coming up, Adam's news of the night, and then we'll get into the night in Major League Baseball. I am Tony D. This is Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. A quick programming note before we get to news of the night. I'll be gone all next week as I move with my family to the northeastern part of the United States. Do we know who's filling in for me next week?
No, I have not heard yet. Okay. So
Well, whoever it is, it's going to be good.
Yes.
So keep listening, you know, whatnot. But I'll be back after Memorial Day. So then we'll get rocking and rolling. And I want to make another programming note, because I meant to say this and I've been meant to promoting this. We are not that far away from our 32 days to kickoff, or our countdown to kickoff. We are not that far. For those of you who have just joined the show and have been listening every night and did not join us last summer, we break down an NFL team every night for 32 shows leading up to the start of the season. So you can go to our Facebook page and we'll give you the rundown. And every single team, this is key, every team gets a night. So we want to make this clear. So we want to be fair, because there's some of you that will tune in and go, why am I listening to Jacksonville Jaguars talk? Well, one, because, hey, it's the Jaguars. Two, we're breaking them down every team a night. It's fun. It's a really great time. We get guests. We break down their schedules. We get your thoughts on what you think they are. We want you to participate all summer long. It helps us get through the summer. Camps will start. So it'll be a bunch of fun. Again, Facebook, Tony D Radio Show. When that gets underway, you want to check it out, because every show will be breaking down a team to the summer right up to the start of kickoff. All right, this is Adam's News of the Night. We go beyond the headlines of what's out there in the crazy, crazy world we call planet Earth. What is story number one?
Story number one, one of your favorite people, the old ball coach.
Oh, I love Spurrier, man. I love him.
He was asked if he would ever consider being college football commissioner. Here's what he had to say.
I doubt it. That sounds like a lot of work, traveling around the country trying to keep up with Ole Miss and whoever else has been under investigation right now. But that might be something that would be good for college football, to have one guy with some common sense make decisions.
He's still doing it. He can't stop. He's like, yeah, checking down Ole Miss. Ah! Florida State, Tennessee. Ah! Oh, I love him.
I wish he would have rallied off about 4, 5, 6 schools. You know,
yeah,
like
that would have been great.
That would have been awesome.
I like how he said that was too much work, unlike coaching the South Carolina Gamecocks, which seemed to be a rather easy job. All right. What's story number two?
Story number two. This happened in Florida. This is from our Man site.
That's right. Florida man.
A Tampa man live streamed on Periscope his shootout and standoff with the cops and a SWAT team.
Okay, before you continue with this story, let me. I know what Periscope is.
Correct.
You use your phone's camera to broadcast live from anywhere you want.
Right.
So, for example, if I'm going to do this radio show and I want to do a monologue about something, I can tell people on Periscope at 1 a.m. Eastern, I'm going to talk about the NBA playoffs, and I can Periscope that.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. But what I want to know is, how do people Periscope them doing stuff? Aren't you supposed to hold the camera?
Well, that's what he's doing, is walking around with the phone.
Okay, he's holding the camera and he's getting involved in a shootout?
Yes.
Okay.
So what it is, it's a story, and I'll post this. It's up on YouTube, is where I saw the video. And what happens is, basically, there's a SWAT team coming. He's mentally disturbed. And all of a sudden, you hear some shots being popped off into his house. They break a window to try and move some stuff. And the whole time, he's just yelling. At one point, he's like, there's going to be a death here today. It's either me or I'm taking out as many of them as I can. And then at the end, it turned into him kind of being a baby and being like, I'm coming outside. I got my hands
oh
up.
My
Don't
gosh.
Shoot me. Like, it was the weirdest thing ever. And it was just something I don't even know how to explain. Like, at the beginning, I was like, what am I watching? What am I going to see here? You know, kind of freaking out. And then by the end, I was like, well, this guy is mentally disturbed because he just walks outside and he's like, this is over. I'm done. And this all happens in a span of about 5-6 minutes.
This Periscope thing is phenomenal. Hollywood has done movies on this. I believe that there was a movie, Ed Burns, I think, was in a movie where there were two Russian criminals filming everything that they did. Like, they were robbing banks and they were filming it on a camera, a real television camera. This is exactly that. People are going to Periscope crimes that they're going to commit. People are going to commit. They're going to broadcast everything that they do, and they'll be deaths. I'm really worried about where this is going to go.
When
are we going to have the first? I mean, not to be morbid, but when are we going to have the first Periscope murder?
Well, and see, I've never really used Periscope. I downloaded it and tried it out. The only time I tried it out, because it was going nuts on Twitter of all these different things that I wanted to just see what type of different videos I could find on Periscope, was the Paris attacks.
Oh, okay.
And it was actually, it's kind of a lot like, you know, you're going from person to person who's shooting from a different area, you know, and you can see exactly where these people are. There's a map and you can zoom in and you can see like exactly where they are in Paris, knowing where they were near the stadium or
wow.
they were downtown. And so you could tell where kind of they were at and what they were looking at while you put it up. You know, you have CNN on.
Can you Periscope? Is it? I know we got to continue on with the news of the night, but can you Periscope endlessly? Can you do 15 hours of broadcasting or is it like Twitter? You know, like where Twitter is 140 characters. Do they say, yeah, you can only Periscope about 10 minutes and we shut you off?
That I'm not 100% sure on. I know you can go for a good amount of time. I don't know if it cuts you off after 15 minutes all or right. whatever it is. But I just put that story up, the YouTube page, up on my Twitter at Aaron
right.
G. Sager. So.
And I will retweet that at Tony D Radio because I'm now technologically sound.
Yes.
Now that I know. All right, story number three.
Story number three. So we all know Brazil has the... What is it, Zika virus?
The Zika
the Olympics
virus,
and all
right.
that kind of stuff. Well, Venezuela has another problem.
Uh-oh.
They have basically murders and people being mugged on the streets constantly, like
yeah,
minute
right.
by minute by minute. Well, now their big issue is the people of Venezuela are trying to take back their streets, and they're doing this by basically mobs are... Like, if you get mugged, you just yell out that this guy mugged me, and a mob of people, whoever is around, is supposed to attack this man and basically beat him to death.
Oh, that's not good.
And this
that's
is happening, this is happening daily now.
Okay, so there's mob justice, and there are people
yes.
getting killed or getting severely beaten for crimes they may or may not have committed.
And it's so crazy, and we know Venezuela and those areas down there are insane. With, you know, the murders and the drugs and all kinds of stuff. The one story I found was a man mugged somebody. It was $5 is what he took from this guy.
Uh-oh.
The mob chased him down, beat him basically almost to death, and then set him on fire. Over
Ugh.
$5.
That's terrible.
But it's because they're trying to take back their streets because
yeah.
the police have no real authority to stop this.
All right. That was your news of the night. Coming up next, the night in Major League Baseball as the Nationals and Mets continue to duke it out at Citi Field. The Yankees out in Arizona. Cubs and White Sox, have they reversed a trend? We'll talk about that coming up next. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right. right, this is the time of the show we go around Major League Baseball, get you caught up on what happened in the night. So if you play fantasy or you're just wondering about your team, you know, the season, you can lose track of the season rather quickly. We'd like to keep you updated. So we'll start in Philadelphia where the Phillies beat the Marlins 4-2. And I'll be saying this and I'll keep saying this. Watch out. The Phillies are 7 games over .500. They are in the race in the National League East. So are the Marlins. The Nationals and the Mets, a couple of weeks ago, were two of the better teams in all of baseball. But they're in a four-way race right now. I know it's May, and we'll sort this all out later. We got a long way to go. But give credit where credit is due. The Phillies are 7 games above .500. They're 24-17. And they beat the Marlins tonight by a score of 4-2. And Jeremy Hellickson getting the win. He's now 4-2 with an ERA slightly less than 4. The Detroit Tigers beat Minnesota 6-3. Ian Kinsler with his 10th home run of the year. Justin Verlander is 3-4 with a 4.58 ERA. Is he married to Kate Upton yet? When's that wedding?
I don't think they're married yet.
No, but they're getting they got engaged,
they
right?
They are
Ian good.
Ian Kinsler, I swear, every night we've done this lately, he's hit a home run.
10 home runs on the season already. He's quietly hitting home runs.
Yeah.
Kansas City at Cobb Stadium beat Boston 3-2, slowing down the Red Sox scoring attack. Eric Hosmer had a two-run homer in the first inning. Chris Young homered for Boston, his first of the year. So the Red Sox, I think it's a four-game series. So I think Kansas City's won two. Actually, the Red Sox won a doubleheader, so they won 5-2 over Kansas City. Craig Kimbrell picked up the save, and Jackie Bradley Jr. is 7th win of the year. All right, the Oakland A's beat Texas 8-1. Chris Davis has 4 home runs in this series. He has 12 on the year. I don't know anything about Chris Davis. Is this another Moneyball guy? Is this another guy that...
No,
was he a star somewhere else and I didn't remember him?
He was, I don't want to say a star, but he was
good player?
A power-hitting outfielder from Milwaukee. He was okay.
Okay, I don't follow Milwaukee.
He wasn't a, high average hitter. He has a lot of pop.
He has 12 home runs this year.
Well, I
don't know who he is.
Night.
Yeah, he had 3 last night, including a grand slam, walk-off grand slam. A walk-off grand slam! Is that there's nothing better than that. That is the best. A walk-off grand slam. He's got 12.
See right here, he's got 12 home runs. His OPS, which involves slugging, isn't even at 800, which is kind of the spot you want to be over.
Yeah.
So kind of he's not a very good hitter. He just has a lot of power in that swing.
All right, so Chris Davis. There you
and
go.
Oakland swept Texas.
Yeah, they swept Texas in 3 games. Struggling, they still have a losing record. But
struggling
still...
since Odor punched Bautista.
I like this. This was a night of firsts for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
Their first win under new manager Brian Snitzer. Snitker. I'm going to get that wrong every time. I'm sorry. He's a guy from Gwinnett. I don't know anything about him. Tyler Flowers hit his first home run of the year, and Julio Teheran got his first victory of the season as he went 7 2/3 scoreless. So they beat the Pirates 3-1. So good for him. Good for the Pirates. Good for the Braves. They do finally get that 10th win of the season. While everybody else has been rolling in that in April, the Braves finally get that in mid-May. Very, very well done. Baltimore beat Seattle 5-2. Let's see, a couple home runs for the Orioles, and they win again 5-2. Tampa Bay over Toronto 6-3. They routed the Blue Jays in this series.
Yeah.
The Rays scored 31 runs in this series against Toronto. 31 in 3 games. They annihilated the Blue Jays. I don't know what has happened to Toronto, but they have fallen off the map.
They are only a half game from last place in the AL East.
Logan Morrison, Kevin Kiermaier, and Desmond Jennings all homered for the Rays. Rays hit a lot of home runs. I don't know where they're ranked, but they feel like they hit a lot of home runs. Jake Odorizzi got the win, and R.A. Dickey took the loss. He's 2-5. Whatever happened to him?
Just
people
bad.
Catch up on that knuckleball?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Ever since he left New York.
Yeah. God. Cincinnati, I'm sorry, Cleveland over Cincinnati, 8-7-12. All right.
I know
Jay Bruce homered
a few.
Twice. That's it. That's all I got. The Nationals beat the Mets 7-1. Yoenis Cespedes has 13 home runs in the season now, and Bartolo Colon took the loss. He's 3-3. Nationals had been struggling. And so they beat the Mets. Daniel Murphy drove in too. He got a nice ovation the other night from the Met faithful.
He did.
They were very genuinely thankful.
But he's
for
not
his contribution
400 anymore, so I'm not interested.
Yeah,
in
he's
him.
Not. I'm not interested.
Get back to 400.
Get
interested.
Back to 400, and then we'll pay attention. The Cubs beat Milwaukee 2-1 in 13 innings. This was weird because the Cubs scored the winning run on a walk. Ben Zobrist scored on a walk.
Want to hear?
And that ended the game.
Crazy stats on the Cubs.
Well, that didn't end the game, but it gave them the go-ahead run.
Last three games, the Cubs have scored 0 runs in innings 1 through 8. They've scored 5 in innings 9 or after.
Is this the Cubs have been slumping a little bit lately, haven't they?
Offensively, yes.
Yeah, okay. Is this what Theo Epstein was talking about when he said, calm down?
Yes. This is a team that, while they have, you know, maybe the most potent offense in baseball, they go through stretches because they do tend to strike out a lot. So you'll see them have games, you know, a little stretch like this where they might lose 5 of 6.
Yeah, okay.
But then they're going to win, you know, 17 straight at
sure,
one point,
they better.
Probably. Yeah.
They better.
So, I mean, it's just what this offense is. And that's what's scary for them going into the postseason. Like, look what the Mets did to them last year.
All right.
So
again, Theo Epstein right on the money. We told everybody to slow down, and now they may have slowed down a little bit.
Still 28-10.
Houston beat the White Sox 5-3. Kobe Rasmus and Jason Castro homering for Houston. Jose Altuve is still fantastic.
Gosh,
three hits and 2 RBIs.
Everything he does is good.
He's great. He's fantastic. Doug Fister with the win. He's 4-3. St. Louis over the Colorado Rockies 2-0 at Busch Stadium. Matt Holliday had a 2-run double or something. He drove in 2 runs, and that's all it was. This was a rather boring game because Adam Wainwright pitched very well.
He did finally pitch well.
He did 4-3. He pitched really good. He's now 4-3.
I was looking at Trevor Story's numbers. He actually still has very good numbers. He hasn't been hitting for much power lately.
No, I only care about his home run total.
I know.
Trevor Story to me is not a story because he's batting .318. Trevor Story is a story because he has 55 home runs by the end of the season.
He could push 40 still.
I hope so. I hope he does, because I like his story.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, no pun intended. Yankees avoid the sweep in Arizona. They beat the Diamondbacks 4-2. Brett Gardner had a 2-run homer, and Nate Eovaldi with the win. He's 4-2. Jacoby Ellsbury had an RBI single. He later scored on a wild pitch. The Angels beat the Dodgers 8-1. I'm not very good at this. All right, I read it and I screw up the teams quickly. Mike Trout homered his 9th of the year.
He hit a monster home run.
He did. I did see that in the highlights. And the San Francisco Giants beat San Diego 2-1. Okay, enough of that. I have a brilliant idea that I noticed that I want to pitch on the air. I'm actually giving this idea to Major League Baseball for free. I'm actually giving this idea to the Mets for free. And if they're already doing this, then good. I don't know if they're doing this, but I hope they are. And if they're not, here's a brilliant idea. When I was at the University of South Carolina, we had a quarterback by the name of Steve Tannehill. And Steve Tannehill was... His claim to fame was that he had a ponytail. He was from Pennsylvania and he had a ponytail, and it came out of his hat. So at the end of games, he would wear the South Carolina Gamecocks hat, and this ponytail would come out of the back end. This was in the early 90s, so forgive the fashion sense. Somebody went, "Hey, that's a brilliant idea," and sold hats that attached to ponytails. The Mets have to do something with Noah Syndergaard's hair.
Yeah.
They have to attach it to a cap so that you can wear a Mets cap and have Noah Syndergaard's hair coming out of it. It is phenomenal hair.
Well, and you could match it up with DeGrom's.
DeGrom, too. How about DeGrom? You could actually...
blonde.
And then if you could
brown.
Get Steven Matz to do something else with his locks, you could actually have one of that. And... I don't know, Bartolo Colon, the little strip that's in the back of his head.
Yeah.
You could make that, and then you could have collect all 4 City Field Mets nights. But if you're just going to do one, please, Noah Syndergaard's got golden locks. I am envious as a man of the hair on Noah Syndergaard. I would absolutely buy a Mets cap that has the blonde hair attachment attached to the back end. Please, Mets, the brilliant idea. It's all yours for free.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us again on Twitter at Tony D Radio, Facebook, Tony D Radio Show. And as I said earlier, with our football previews that are coming up this summer, about middle July, we don't have an exact date yet because, you know, we're lazy. We haven't counted back the 32 shows yet. But when we do, that's where you're going to want to go to check out when your team is going to be. We hope you listen, obviously, to every preview that we do. But if you're really honed in on, I want to listen to my team and I want to participate in the conversation about my team, Tony D Radio Show on Facebook is where you can find our weekly schedules that we do. And it was fun. And I was glad B-Money on Twitter said he loved 32 for 32 last year. Can't wait for this season. We have a great time with that. I love doing it because we, you know, and it's really, and Adam and I have talked about this before, about, you know, where we take the show and what we do. When we did our baseball preview, for example, we did a division. We did a division a week, and we did this for 6 weeks. And we had Chris Swick on from Yahoo Sports, and we broke down a division. But the NFL, you can do this, where you break down a team. So many people play fantasy. People do want to know about other teams. You may be a Cowboys fan, but just the nature of the NFL, you have curiosities about what San Diego might be up to. Is Denver going to be okay at the quarterback position? And again, it may have something to do with fantasy football or just general interest in the league or maybe legal betting, whatever it is. But the NFL, this is the kind of stuff that you can do with the NFL. And last year, we had some great people on that really helped us with those teams. And so, again, Facebook, Tony D Radio Show, if you don't like it already, and we'll give you all the information as we need coming up for the summer, because that's coming right around the corner. When I get back from my vacation, quote-unquote, then we'll be about a month and a half away, about 6 weeks out.
Yeah, that's crazy that we're already...
It's amazing.
Almost there.
It's incredible because when the Super Bowl ends, you go, oh, and as I've gotten older... That distance is just, it feels like it just goes by faster. And you get into the summer and you get into training camp. And, you know, the summers are tough, you know, because there's not a lot going on. Once the NBA finals are over, there's kind of this dead time. That's one of the reasons I love SEC Media Days, because that breaks up the monotony of the summer. Like all of a sudden you've got, well, Spurrier's not going to be at SEC Media Day anymore. So the personality effect there is going to be gone. But that, you know, I like getting geared up for college football and all that other stuff.
So quick math, just looking at a calendar, we'll probably start them July 25th.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Because we'll end it the Tuesday before the first game, which is Thursday night.
Okay, so it's a little longer than 6 weeks, but, you know, it still puts us in a good spot. Is it a late start for the NFL this year? I kind of forgot.
September 8th.
Okay, that's not so bad.
The first.
That's not so bad. I had a feeling they started later this year. It was like the 10th or the 12th or something like that when they rolled their first game. Because I think Labor Day was kind of late. So, yeah, that's right. So backtrack at 32 shows and 5 a week and we'll be good to go.
Yep.
So, all right, 800-777-2907 is the number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Again, at Twitter, at Tony D Radio. So, anyway, back to my Noah Syndergaard idea. I'm trying to think if you could actually do this to, like, if you could make this kind of across the board. What about Gio Gonzalez of the Nationals? Doesn't he have a crazy lock of hair?
He did at one point. I don't know if
he
still does. I'm not sure.
All right. I think you could probably do this for a lot of guys that have wild hair.
I'm trying to think of other people with hair.
When I was younger, there was a pitcher named Mark Friedrich of the Detroit Tigers who had crazy hair coming out. He played for he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He was the bird. I think this is pretty cool. You know, it's like bobbleheads. Like, really, like, whoever came up with bobbleheads probably seemed ridiculous at the time, but now they're super collectible. I know when I covered the Rockies, if you covered the Rockies, they would give you whatever promotional giveaway. If you were pressed and you stayed after the seventh inning, you would get whatever promotional giveaway was that day. And I always looked at their promotional calendar, and I always went to bobblehead night. And I had a whole bunch of bobbleheads that I used to give my kid. I loved it. But now a Noah Syndergaard lock of hair hat with a wig attached, that's great.
Johnny Cueto and his long
Johnny
dreadlocks.
Cueto would be great too. I think I'm on to something.
Yes, Gio Gonzalez right now does have long hair.
Yes, I thought I saw that.
Yes,
I thought I saw that. So that's very good. Very good. I think it's going to be a good idea. I know some of you out there are laughing like it's stupid. No, it's not stupid. Think about all the crazy sports stuff we've got. Let me tell you a quick story, because I like story time on this show. I went to, when I was early in my radio career, the baseball winter meetings were held in Boston. I want to say this was 96. The year doesn't matter. It was mid-90s. And I got sent down there to Boston to cover the baseball winter meetings. Basically, plug your tape recorder into press conferences, ask the Red Sox guy, Dan Duquette, anything if you see him. So I'd go down to the baseball winter meetings, and there was a package that you would get, and it was all of these companies, and they were all pitching. They would all have a product that they'd want to pitch, something to do with baseball, something to do with memorabilia, something, you know, whatever it was. And they would give the press sample packs of whatever they were trying to sell. And some of the stuff was really, really cool, and some of it was crap. But one of the things that I took with me that I loved was this company created miniature bats out of the real bats of Major League Baseball players. So they would take like Ken Griffey's bat, and then they would break just any bat that he used, and they would break it apart, and they would basically sculpt out a smaller version of that bat using the real wood from a bat that he swung. And then they would give you a stand on it, and had a little certificate on it, and it came in a nice package, and it would say Ken Griffey Jr. on it. It was really neat. It was really cool. I don't think it ever took off, but it was really kind of a cool thing. So I remember keeping it, and I kept it for years, and I kept it in the package because I thought this was kind of cool, and I thought, where could this go? I got married. My wife and I were living in Las Vegas. I was running a station in Vegas, and I had a little office. They gave me a little office. And my wife, being a great newlywed bride, wanted to decorate my office. She took that, opened it up, and put it on my desk, and didn't quite understand why I wanted to keep it intact in the case. Well, it never turned out to be anything, but you can see the memorabilia crazy.